My name's Paul. I'm the senior minister of the church, as Hamish said, and a pleasure to meet you, even if it's virtually, if this is the first time that's happened. I'm just going to go back to one of the readings we had a few moments ago, one from the book of Isaiah, written 700 years before Jesus was born, and I'm going to read just a couple of sentences from it to us once again. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It's become commonplace, hasn't it, to say that 2020 has been a year like no other. In any normal year, the death of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter protests that it ignited and the bushfires in the Australian outback would have received more column inches than any other story by far. But even they have been dwarfed by events with which we're all too familiar, aren't we? The Oxford English Dictionary tells us that use of the word pandemic has risen by 57,000% in 2020. The world was brought to a standstill, apparently by some bad food hygiene in Wuhan. There have been more than 1.5 million direct deaths. We've witnessed the deepest global recession for decades. We barely even noticed the Olympics being postponed. And for all of us, life has changed dramatically. 12 months of us, very few of us, I guess, had even heard of Zoom. Now we're simultaneously thankful for it and sick of the sight of it. One Christmas letter we received said, this is the year in which the word unprecedented has been used an unprecedented number of times. And we've all been encouraged, I guess, by news reports of vaccines, but it's still going to be a very strange Christmas, isn't it? Many of us won't be able to see the people that we love. Things we've always taken for granted, like a simple night out with friends, just aren't possible. We know there are many wonderful things to celebrate about humanity. But I'm sure there have been times for all of us this year where we found ourselves longing for a better world. Not only free from the virus, but free from so many other things as well. Inequality, greed, arguments, the abuse of power, selfishness, to name a few. In the run-up to Christmas, that shared, that deep-seated desire that I think we have for something better has drawn me back to this famous reading from Isaiah, because it's addressed to people in a similar boat. If you can remember it, it was full of military language. That's because the primary threat that they faced came not from a virus, but from an invading army that was set to burst into their land like waters from a mighty flood. And Isaiah's vocabulary tells us the plight that they were facing. He speaks of deep darkness and gloom, deep darkness and gleam, apparently. Anguish speaks of blood and of oppression. This was an enemy from whom the vulnerable couldn't shield, just as deadly with the young and healthy as for the old and frail. But into all of that darkness, the living God himself spoke words of promise and of light. He spoke of a new dawn of great joy and gladness in which the yoke of their oppressor would be broken in two. And all of the equipment and weaponry of the invading army would just be turned into a massive bonfire. Historians tell us that in World War I, the British army alone issued nearly 50 million pairs of boots to its forces. But one sentence in our reading says, every boot and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. invite you then to imagine for a second a world in which no individual and no nation ever feels the need to bear arms again or to use force against each other. A world in which we never need to stand in silence to mourn the fallen, because everybody everywhere is living at peace. That's what God was promising through Isaiah. And in the first context, the language was military, but elsewhere in the Bible, that language gets broadened out, and it becomes clear that God is promising not just a world like this without violence, but a whole new world that is free from absolutely everything that ever tarnishes our enjoyment of this one. So I'm sure we're all ready for this. A world with no more social distancing or hand sanitizers or face masks. We're ready for that already, I hope. No sickness, no disease, no need for chemo, no hate crimes or abuse or exploitation, no anxiety, no loneliness, no depression, no angry words, no selfish thoughts, no family arguments, no tears, no grief, no death. That's the new world that God was promising. And in that little sentence, number 6, if you have the passage in front of you at home, we see how he's going to achieve it. Let me read it to us once again. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. It's maybe not what we'd expect, because God's perfect new world isn't going to be established through human diplomacy or medical progress or the evolution of the species, but through the birth of a child who's going to reign forevermore. Goes without saying that he's talking about Jesus. He wouldn't be born for another 700 years. But Isaiah was intending for us to zoom in on the titles he uses to describe Jesus so that we might understand who this baby would be. And we would have confidence that he would be able to deliver the perfect world for which all of us have been longing this year. I don't know if you've been watching the new series of The Crown. I'm not sure Prince Charles has come over all that well in it all of the time. But apparently his full royal title is His Royal Highness, the Prince Charles Philip Arthur George, Prince of Wales, Knight of the Garter, Knight of the Thistle, Knight Grand Cross of the Order of Bath, Member of the Order of Merit, Knight of the Order of Australia, Companion of the Queen's Service Order, Privy Councillor, Aide-de-Camp, Earl of Chester, Duke of Cornwall, Duke of Rothesay, Earl of Carrick, Baron of Renfrew, Lord of the Isles, and Prince and Great Steward of Scotland here. Indeed. That's a pretty impressive list of titles, isn't it? I'm just a reverend, and I think I've got a letter after my name or two. But even Prince Charles is out-titled by the baby we've just read about. Let me mention those four names. First of all, he's Wonderful Counselor. It's a title that speaks of his infinite wisdom. One of the things we've seen in 2020 is that being a politician is a thankless task. I don't know how you're meant to weigh up the competing harms of letting a killer virus run free on the one hand and locking everything down on the other. We've all got an opinion, but I, for one, am glad that I'm not having to make those calls with other people's lives on the line. That's just the virus. We've got to sort out Brexit in the next few days, it seems. And if you ruled the world, how would you sort out all of the problems in the Middle East once and for all so that everyone lived together in perfect harmony? Then how would you eliminate global poverty? And how would you overcome the mental health problems that afflict 25% of the British population in any one year? Many are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight, Isaiah says. But this is a child who's going to have true and infinite wisdom from above. And when Jesus came, People praised his wisdom and they marveled at the authority of his teaching and they hung on his every word. Do you know, he never once made a wrong judgment about anyone or any situation. He never spoke a word quickly that he would later regret. He never lied to get himself out of a tight spot or flattered someone just to earn their approval or to get ahead. He never spoke down to people. He never snapped in anger. He only ever spoke words of truth and love and kindness. And still today, it's incredible the way that his teaching is so relevant. A guy called Tony Jordan's a script writer. You've probably watched some of his shows. He said, "I don't come from a religious background. I don't think I'm anybody's fool. The one thing I know for sure is that the words of Jesus Christ are the most truthful thing I've ever heard. As a blueprint for mankind, it is so smart, it couldn't even have come from a clever philosopher." Why not pick up an account of Jesus' life this Christmas? We've got a bunch all carefully sanitized and quarantined on a bench just out the back if you want to take one with you or find one at home. Read for yourself the things he had to say. Even his opponents concede that if only we could today live by the wisdom of Jesus, our world would be transformed. Because he is the wonderful counselor that we personally and our world globally needs. He also says, verse 6, our mighty God. That is, he has all of the power of Almighty God because he is God. Again, it's a year we've been reminded how powerless we are. We find it hard even to control ourselves when you think about it. There have been any times this year where you found your tongue or your temper or your lack of willpower have got the better of you? We'd all love beyond that to be able to protect our loved ones from sickness and evil and pain, but we just can't do it. Here, the king that God was promising in Isaiah would have not just the wisdom he needed, but also the power to make everything good again. Well, I hit fast forward onto the life of Jesus and watch him calming a storm and liberating people from the grip of evil and healing sickness with a word. Watch him raising someone from the dead, personally conquering the grave. His entire life and ministry are like little previews of heaven, mini proofs that he really does have the power to deliver on everything that God promised. Look at him closely, and I'm sure you'll see why those who knew him best didn't just say, "Oh, he's a great man," or even the best of men, but fell on their faces and worshipped him as their Lord and God. And the Bible's clear that he's our Lord too, all these years later. We might welcome his rule, we might try and reject it, but one day we'll all bow before him because he is our mighty God. Third title, Everlasting Father. Again, it's been the case, isn't it? Another big takeaway from 2020 is our own mortality. We usually block it out, but we've been reminded that life is short. And deep down, we know that. Like the flowers of the field, we grow and we flourish, but then the wind blows and we are gone. The God of the Bible is different. He was and he is to come. And here, Jesus too is called everlasting, one who's going to reign over all people with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. That eternality of Jesus is so important. For the very best of our human leaders can help reduce some of our problems for some period of time. But he can erase them all for all time because he is everlasting. And I love the fact that he's called Father. It's not a comment about genetic parenthood, of course, but an insight into the way that he treats people with love and tenderness and with sacrificial care as a father should. So often in our world, don't you find that the powerful lord it over people? We've all read reports this year of people exploiting their power for their own advantage. But Jesus fed the hungry and protected the vulnerable. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and even to give his life for many. The final title then is Prince of Peace. When he entered into Jerusalem, he didn't do it in a tank or on a war horse, but on the back of a little donkey in humility. And he shunned violence, and he taught his followers to love their enemies and to pray for those who persecuted them, because he came to establish a kingdom of peace. In part, that's about relational peace with other people, and you should get a preview of that if you look at a church. In part, it's about internal peace of mind in a troubled world, and you should get a preview of that from the life of your Christian friend. But supremely, it's the eternal peace of the restored relationship with God for which we were made. Let me just speak about it very personally for a second. Even in 2020, I have to admit that I have fallen a long way short of the standards that God sets for my life. I don't presume to speak for you, but God tells me to love my neighbor as myself. I honestly couldn't even tell you that I've loved my own family perfectly, let alone all the other people in my life. Even more seriously, he tells me to love him as well, with all of my heart and mind and soul and strength. And I haven't even come close. It may be that you're the same. By nature, we've made ourselves enemies of God. That's some of the Bible's language. But Jesus is the prince who came and is able to restore the peace. Someone shared with me recently a picture of Jesus. He was a baby in the picture, and in his hand, he was holding a cross. And I have to confess, I wasn't a huge fan of the picture for all sorts of reasons I could go into another time, but it was a pretty stark reminder of why he came. Because the only way that Jesus is able to reconcile us to God is through his own death. He came and he lived and ultimately he died so that our wrongdoings could be washed away and we could be given and guaranteed a place in the perfect new world that God has promised. So Jesus then is the original and the perfect Christmas gift. Wonderful counselor, because he has the wisdom and grace to rule and to shepherd us forevermore. Mighty God, because he's got the power to rid the world of everything that spoils it, to make it new. Everlasting Father, because he loves and leads us. And Prince of Peace, because he was willing to shed his own blood so that we could enjoy peace with God. And this Christmas, I want to encourage us, maybe more than ever before, to take a fresh look at Jesus. He is the one who, the only one, who can deliver the perfect world for which 2020 has made every one of us long. It's nearly 30 years since I was issued the challenge to take a closer look at Jesus. I'd grown up enjoying a good carol service, but with no personal interest in Jesus or awareness of his claims. Someone challenged me to see whether my perceptions were the same as reality. The more I looked at him, the more I was blown away. He moved from being someone that I was aware of and respected to the one that I do want to worship and to live for. And I would really love to hear what you make of him as you read about him. Please do pick up one of these accounts of his life. If you don't have one, let me know. I'll gladly send you one. Tune back into our live streams over the next few weeks in the new year. Come on that Christianity Explored course that Hamish mentioned. We would love to chat with you, to hear any questions or even just any comments you have about the things that you've heard this evening. Please do let your friends know, if they shared this live stream with you, what you make of the person of Jesus. I know it's not going to be the Christmas that any of us would have chosen, but however you're spending the next few weeks, I truly hope, and let me say on behalf of our church family, that your Christmas is as happy as it possibly can be this year. But especially my longing is that you might take a second look at Jesus and come to know the joy of Christ for yourself. So let me wish you a very, very Merry Christmas.